Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 365. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Karka, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local. Having a good week, bud?
I am. Got to spend the first part of the week in New York, and now I'm back and hanging with my bud.
Nice. You were there just recently. I guess, are you going there more often now?
Yeah, it seems that way, actually. I go in for meetings. Our office is based in the actually it's kind of cool. The office is based in the new One World Trade Center, so I get to go into the building, and we have way too many floors leased in that building, but it's fun to go up in there, and each time I go it seems I'm on a different floor and get a different view, so it's kind of cool.
That is cool. Interesting. I'd love to go back there again, but I don't think I could do it on a quick trip. It has to be for a while. It's a gorgeous place. lots to do. My wife would kill me if I went without her.
Tons to do. Last time I got to do my first trip on the Staten Island Ferry after all these years. So it was fun.
All right. Well, there is a lot you put on there today. Thanks for doing that. I haven't got a chance to do much. Got some questions in here we're going to get to as well from our listeners. But there's been a core update to Google. At least it's now rolling out. Why don't you share what you've got to share?
Yep. Tuesday, the 24th, Google made an announcement via Twitter, which I'm liking them doing, but they're not giving us much notice. So they announced on Twitter that there would be a core update called the September 2019 core update, fancy name, but it was going to be later today. So they made that announcement like really early, like 5 or 6 a.m. It didn't actually start rolling out till about 2 o'clock. But then again, you know, it starts rolling out. So the next day on the 25th, there was an update that it's live, but it actually started rolling out pretty slow. And then, of course, on Friday, the 26th, people started noticing the impact. People reporting losses of rankings and traffic. Other people saying we've rebounded from the last one. Other people were saying, oh, we got a lot of ranking boosts and new stuff. I haven't read yet anywhere. You know, that they're talking about what's causing those impacts. Again, it's still rolling out. I'd say it's going to be, you know, another 3 or 4 days before you really know, how what's going on and what's causing these changes. But just be aware, it started on the 24th, which is last Tuesday, and it's continuing to go. So keep an eye out. If you're seeing changes, you're seeing up ranking changes or fluctuations or traffic, this could be the culprit.
Well, yeah, we'll certainly report more on it when we know more, but I haven't heard any freakouts from Scott. So I guess it hasn't hit us yet, or it's for something else. I mean, we never know. It could be targeting something very niche.
Right. Well, one report of people saying they rebounded was from media sites that got hit hard last time. So, of course, I was already checking our sites, and I'm seeing standard. Again, if you're doing things right, most likely these core updates are not going to hurt you too bad. Just when there's some kind of tactic or something going on in your site that you might not be aware of, that Google is, where these kind of core updates might have an impact on you. And of course, Google's recommendations on what to do about it is don't do anything.
Just continue doing the right thing.
Because
we'll always take care of you. No, nothing could ever happen and go wrong.
Exactly. We're your favorite uncle.
Oh, geez. Well, if you want more information, you can guarantee that there'll be more on the Search Engine Roundtable. Barry's always on top of this.
Barry's all over it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's got his sources, I'm sure, that will notify him of anything that's happening. So it's always the place to look. Next up is some changes in the Google Search Console. Of course, you can't use the old one anymore. We mentioned that last show, which is nice. It's all new.
Yeah, and this is actually really good. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Search Console now in their performance report is now showing, you'll get a notification if it applies to you, one of those little green boxes that pop up like it does with the mobile first, that says you now have the fresh data, which means that the data coming into that performance report, the search rankings report inside of Search Console, is now less than a day old. Wow. Usually, yeah, this is awesome. That's the only report that's doing that so far inside there. But usually you have to wait 2 or 3 days before you get new data. So you're always behind. But this is really amazing. Less than a day. I looked today and ours was 11 hours old. So I was really happy.
Wow. Yeah, I can't even, that's the sort of stuff that blows my mind. Just even trying to fathom the engineering they had to do to get that kind of detail out to billions of sites that, well, most, I guess a lot of sites don't have access or check their Google Search Console, but still there must be a lot of people who do. And it's pretty impressive they can have it that fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's super, super important and handy information to be checking on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Are there going to be any instances where we get information too quickly before it's had time to really parse something out? I don't know. Like,
if it's real data, I don't see how.
Yeah.
If it's somebody making conjectures on what a certain algorithm update did, yeah, that can be, you know, it's way too soon to know for sure kind of thing. But data coming from the engines, I don't see how that could be.
No, it shouldn't be. Too quickly. All that stuff's pretty raw, pretty basic. You know, they do give suggestions sometimes, but it's generally based on pure data. Yeah, right. It should be fine. But it's something I always keep a lookout for, because a lot of things that clients do, I find, and more sort of trigger-happy beginning SEOs, is they try and react to stuff too quickly without letting it sort of flush out. And that's big when it comes to these core updates. You got to let things stabilize. Otherwise, you're going to react to something that may have nothing to do with you, and you do something and make things worse. So keep that in mind.
If Google like launches a new, you know, we're changing the way metarobots.txt works, you got to wait a couple of weeks at minimum before you implement anything to see how it fleshes out. Let the people who want to, you know, be the first ones to do everything find the bugs, and then you know about the bugs, and then you can implement correctly. I never jump on stuff the same day or the next day. You know, a lot of times we've seen Google reverse themselves within a week or two sometimes.
And it's hard to explain to clients sometimes too, but like, why, how dare you wait? I've got money riding on this. It's like, well, that's why we're waiting.
Exactly.
but I do sometimes feel a little foolish when I'm explaining it to them, because you know, if they've completely disappeared, that's pretty rare. But if that happens, I still want to sit back and wait, because damn it, it can change.
Yeah, it can change, and causation and correlation, that whole conversation, you know, there could be something else that impacted that website to make them disappear. Did not necessarily have to be this algorithm.
Yeah, know? I mean, I guess that was an extreme example. If you disappear from Google completely, or all your rankings completely drop by 100 or some sort of arbitrary number, yeah, okay, do some digging, but don't react. And make a change yet until you're sure.
I guarantee the day they launch an algorithm, the people that put penalties on sites don't take that day off. So it could be just that you got a penalty for something else, and it just happens to correspond to when they launch a new algorithm update. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're connected. It just happened to be the same day.
And I have to wonder too, like if some person gives a quote unquote penalty, how long does that take to actually get applied? Does it fall into a queue? Does it, I mean, I doubt anyone's got a button that immediately impacts Google. You never know though.
Well, if it's a penalty coming from within Google, why wouldn't they do it immediately? Why would they?
I guess it depends how many there are. And I don't know. I'm totally, this is a ridiculous conjecture, but you know, I mean, it makes sense in some regards, but it's also such a big machine now. Does it have to go through a couple levels of review?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
So Anywho, kind of fun. We love to dream.
But there's other things too, though. It's not just penalties. Like, what happens if you're, for some reason, your web developer accidentally put a robots blocking thing on your website, or something happened to your server? There's all kinds of things that can happen. That if it corresponds at the same time an algorithm update comes out, that can make it seem like it's the algorithm update that was messing with you when it really wasn't. You got to double check everything.
Gave me an idea. What to do when rankings drop? First steps. There we go.
Are you writing a blog post while we're doing the show?
I am writing a title so I don't forget, because I am full of too many things going on in my head.
So make sure I get credit for the the idea.
Oh yeah. Of course. With that, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to jump into some news on snippets.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
It passes before it's noticed. A slight rising of the eyebrows, a widening of the eyes. It may be accompanied by an almost imperceptible inhalation. The heart adds a beat like a quiet exclamation point on the experience. Within a tenth of a second, the reaction has passed, but not without leaving its mark. Someone found what they're looking for. Does your website deliver impulses to act? It can. Intended Consequences is the podcast for digital marketers who see their job as changing hearts and minds. If you're frustrated, bored, or in a rut, it's time to spread your wings with me, Brian Massey, and my guests. Find out how successful, curious, creative, and data-driven marketers are making a difference on purpose. Visit intendedpodcast.com or find us where you get your podcasts. Intended Consequences, marketing on purpose.
Miami may be the sun and fun capital of the world, but it's also home to the largest literary festival in the U.S. Don't miss the Miami Book Fair, a week-long festival featuring more than 600 authors from all over the world with readings, signings, and panels, capped off by a three-day street fair. Find books in English, Spanish, and Creole for every interest and every age, from biographies and novels to poetry and comics. This year, come meet poets Richard Blanco, Reginald Dwayne Betts, and Joy Harjo, award-winning novelists T.C. Boyle, Susan Choi, Edwidge Dantica, Taya Obreht, Julie Oranger, Leonard Pitts, and Karen Russell, plus authors exploring issues of the day such as Eve Ensler, Alex Kutlowitz, Danny Shapiro, Daryl Pinkney, Ambassador Samantha Power, George Wilt, and hundreds more. Take the little ones to Children's Alley for hands-on activities, characters, and storytelling. Enjoy music, food, and fun for the whole family right on the downtown Miami-Dade College campus, November 17th to the 24th. For details, schedules, and tickets, visit miamibookfair.com.
Okay, class, Webmaster, take your seats Radio. And no FM talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
With our panel of on-air
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Google
hosted
Plus,
by John
Karkoff,
the director of SEO
LinkedIn.
For Advanced
you
Local,
can listen
myself,
to WebmasterRadio.fm on
web
air or on demand.
So, John,
from
and I
our website
looking at
or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for Web. MasterRadio.fm
that appear within search results. Now, how would you describe snippets, John?
In this case, I'm not sure because there's so many things that they're adding. I'm not sure because it's so new, mm-hmm. And we haven't seen it yet. This actually doesn't launch until October sometime. I'm not sure if they're talking about just the listing itself and the different things around it. Like some listings say recipes have images because there's some things talking about images. I don't think I've ever seen a video review preview in a general organic search listing. Have you? Or are they just talking maybe about the video box that shows up in some results or the image box that shows up in some results? I don't know.
Yeah, like they talk about recipe as an example. And that's the only very few things to hold on to here. We both kind of feel it's kind of bizarre. I personally haven't experienced a situation where I've needed to control what's in a snippet. And only so much control. You can't suggest what's in it, as far as I know. You can, maybe you can suggest, but essentially you're limiting it, this amount of characters. This, it just seems to me overkill. But there apparently, like you said, a lot of people have asked for this. So there is a use case here that we just haven't experienced yet.
So I kind of clicked through the article and clicked again to kind of dig into it. And Google actually defines snippets here. And this is from the Google announcement. It says Google, well, this is from Google's help section, which I clicked through and found from the announcement. It says Google generation of page titles and descriptions or snippets is completely automated and takes into account blah, 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 right? So based on that, I can only assume that they're just talking about titles and descriptions. But then they have this thing tied to, they have changes in the snippet change tied to images, tied to video. So it's really kind of confusing.
Yeah. Specify a maximum size of image preview to be shown for images on this page, or specify a maximum duration in seconds of an animated video preview.
Let's go back a second. So there's four new controls that you can put inside your robot's meta tag. One of them is no snippet, which basically says you don't want any textual snippet shown for this page. I'm assuming that means you only show a title, not a description. But again, we don't know. Max snippet, which is the specify the max text length and characters for the snippet for your page. All it says is max snippet, and then it has a place for a number. It doesn't tell us what if you put 10,354, right? What is the maximum? What's the minimum? They don't specify at this point, right?
You know, I was thinking, I want a little red button I press, and a little siren goes off, and in seconds we get David Harry on.
Well, David was busy on Jim and Dave's show today, so
yeah. Well, no, he loves this stuff, and I know he's read all about this, so yeah. He probably has the full deal. But
but I'm sure there's not much to read at this point. So
no, there isn't a lot.
So the other one is max video preview, which specifies the duration in seconds of an animated video preview, which I don't think I've seen in regular search results. And then the last new one is maximum image preview setting. You can either have it set at none, standard, or large. But there's no examples. What is standard? What is large? We can kind of guess what none is, of course. But it's just kind of confusing. It's not supposed to launch until October sometime. So hopefully we'll get more information before it actually does.
But here's some points that Barry wrote down here on his site here. That's seroundtable.com for all those who are listening. Again, great place. Always want to call out for that. In summary, he says you can now control the length of your snippets, the video length, and the size of the images in your snippets. It does not impact your rankings, just like a meta description would be. That's the same thing. It launches mid to late October. Google will let us know when it starts to roll out. And there's no way to preview these before adding them to your markup. Well, that's handy. And he's not sure, but it might be related to some new European Union laws. Maybe that's what it is then. Anywho, we devoted a lot to that, but it's more because it's rare that we're puzzled like this, I think. Anyway, I love this next one. I didn't get a chance to read this, but the title just makes me giggle. Okay, go for it.
So somebody on Twitter was talking to Gary Eish and basically complaining that, you know, he never gets any support for emailing when he emails Google for SEO support. And basically, it's emailing Google for SEO support never works. And it's just funny. And Gary's response was basically, because emailing Google is a great solution. And then he put an image of a pink unicorn with cussing at you.
And then he said, then he went on to say it is impossible that it would have worked.
Well, so Mark Treppenhagen was talking about, you know, actually it was a solution because some cases the problem was on Google's side. And Gary said, that's impossible. I think he was just being sarcastic.
but it is, said, it, yeah. Out of the hundreds of external emails that I got this week so far, all were issues on the webmaster side. It's very rare we'd see an issue on our side, as hard it is as it is to believe that.
I think the point and the reason I put this in there is, so if you're new to SEO and you're like, I could just ask Google what the problem is and email them, they're not going to be responsive for, you know, those kind of SEO questions. You're going to have to find other sources to go to get your answers. Google's not going to help an SEO if you're asking, what do I need to do about this? What do I need to do about that? They'll help. The best way to do something like that, in my opinion, if you need that, is show up at one of those webmaster hangouts that John Mueller does and ask him directly. And he has that other thing now too, that he does those short videos where you can put in a request to talk about a certain topic, but not something specific to your site. But if it's a topic that you're really aware and you want to understand what the solution is, he may pick your question, do one of those videos on.
And I don't know, maybe things have changed, but I have, you know, you can get help. It's just not for the average person, I guess you'd say. And maybe they can too. Again, through that webmaster thing you were mentioning, yes, you can ask questions and they'll often answer them, at least in some way or another, be it tongue in cheek or what. But in some cases you can ask. I've asked a number of times. I've got responses. Most of the time it's, sorry, I don't believe that's an issue at our end, or something like it. Yeah. It's a way of eliminating things when you have absolutely no other option. And there was a time where I've had help, you know, and I know we all have, where someone really helpful and kind, like Matt has helped out. Matt Cutts has helped out. Yeah. Looked into Matt's something.
Matt's helped me as well. I remember emailing him once, and it was via email. So I will say that because our company was wanting to do something, and I needed some kind of support, saying we don't, because I was saying we don't want to do this. And they're like, yeah, but, and I'm like, this is not good, but. So I wrote Matt and I said, my company's wanting to do this, and I don't think it's a good idea. I need some backup. And he says, yeah, tell him don't do that. So I was able to go to my company and say, Matt kind of said, don't do this.
There you go. And if they go ahead and do it, Matt said.
No, they didn't do it.
Oh, good. Oh, geez. It's good that they're listening to us.
Yeah.
Those business owners. brother. Okay. So this is more about the nofollow link. Google, we've discussed this in last shows, but Google's nofollow tag, it was added ages ago to allow you to block a connection of your website to a link that you're providing. So you're linking to another website. You're saying, I have to link to this because you want to make a point, but no, I don't want to connect myself to that site. It may be nefarious, maybe other reasons. Maybe it's a paid ad. It could be a number of things.
I don't want to send. I don't want to send my authority to that site and make it stronger.
Yeah, and many news sites have been doing this. Everyone's been on board for a long, long time because Google told us to. Well. It never made sense to me. The whole thing never made sense to me. I mean, Google should know this stuff. Well, now they know this stuff, and I think, or at least they want to know this stuff. It's all in how you believe. It's all in what you believe Google says and what they actually do. But
I love how you're dancing around this.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't, because it's confusing our listeners, but I always, yeah. Anyway, if you assume that they were actually listening and not, and then completely ignoring the nofollow tag, there's speculation they pretty much broke their own ranking system in some regards, because too many people were nofollowing things just to be careful. And now they are saying they will ignore them occasionally. And in fact, that they still have, well, they don't have as much of effect anymore, right?
Right. And some people, what they did just to insulate themselves from anything, especially larger publishers, they would basically just nofollow everything. It's just blanket nofollow across the entire site, whether it's comments or whether it's, you know, articles. They were just nofollowing everything. And they basically, I think it was Gary Ishigan was talking about this, and tied to the idea that nofollowers are now a suggestion or a hint. They're not necessarily a rule of law anymore, which is what we talked about last week. they're saying very specifically, the publishers that have these broad default nofollow tags on all the links leading up, that they may ignore those even from larger sites, especially from larger sites, because like Ross was just saying, you know, that kind of breaks their linking algorithm, because these larger sites that used to have links to places that provide authority and point to really good quality, you know, sites, they're nofollowing everything now, so they can't determine whether or not those links, or they couldn't determine before, but now they can since it's a hint. So there's a good chance that a lot of those, even if you're defaulting to a nofollow, it probably won't matter anymore. Now, my perspective on that is, hey, let's continue to default nofollow everything, and let Google do the work to figure out which ones they want to count, which ones they don't.
Kind of crazy universe to be in now. It is. Like, now we're just it's too hard to explain. But I mean, we, at the beginning, we really just wanted to completely ignore using the nofollow because Google should be able to do that. Now we're leaving nofollows because they can. It's weird. So weird. Yeah.
I think the takeaway from this is, me personally, is there's no reason to change anything or any way you've been doing things in the past at this point. This is all on Google's end. They got to figure out what they want to follow and what they don't.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to make an interesting, I wonder what kind of impact, maybe that's part of what this core update is. Huh? If they start, yeah, you know, this has to have a fairly substantial impact on the link graph. Interesting. Anyway, next up here, Google has sent mass fix breadcrumbs warnings through Google Search Console. I've seen this actually for one of my past clients. It's just telling you that the markup on your breadcrumbs, for those who don't know, are usually at the top of a page, and they have sort of a location of where you are at in the site. It'll say home, and then there's an arrow, and then the category you're on, and then the page name.
There's a specific schema for breadcrumb navigation, and that's what they're sending the warnings about. This is tied to the fact that they just launched a testing tool last week or so inside of Search Console specifically for breadcrumb markup. So you can actually go into Search Console, put your pages in there, and you'll see the breadcrumb markup test results. This is really also interesting to me too, because we got these warnings for every one of our sites and every one of our subdomains, and every one of our sites, and most of our subdomains do not even use breadcrumbs. And we still got these warnings. And I read the warning and it says, we're detecting no breadcrumb markup on your site. You should fix that. Like, we don't want to use breadcrumbs markup because we're not using breadcrumbs.
Good Lord.
So if you're getting these warnings, I would just suggest, if you're using breadcrumbs and you're getting these warnings, go into Search Console, run a page that has the breadcrumb markup on it through that new testing tool and see what it tells you.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a quick note on a local SEO, and then we're going to try and fit in one question.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. And I wanted to say, remember that we have a show notes newsletter we have now. We're putting some effort into writing. Haven't had a lot of signups for it, so I'd just love to get the word out there. We're doing a pretty good job of creating the notes for this show in case you ever want to look back on anything. You can find it at SEO101radio.com. That's SEO101radio.com, and that'll redirect to our page. And on that page is the sign up. So check it out. It's going to have everything in there from each show. Anywho, we have a post I saw within one of the local SEO forums. It says, how important is it to consistently make posts in Google My Business for a small service area business, such as a plumber, electrician, etc.? Dan, I believe it is, from White Spot posted, he says,
White Spark.
Oh, sorry, White Spark. Yeah, White Spot. White Spark. posts get decent views, and if done right, they can drive conversions too. They're easy to do and worth the minor time investment. A lot of businesses are posting to Facebook anyway, so cross-post to Google My Business. Offer posts in particular are pretty rad. They get excellent visibility in the mobile results, right under your main name, address, and phone number information. He also adds, you don't do posts for rankings. You do them for conversions. They appear in Local Finder when people are researching businesses. It's not only when they Google you by name. Do posts to make your listing stand out and get the clicks from the people searching. I thought that was a really good response. I want to make sure I mention that to listeners because I know that many are ignoring the post feature within Google My Business.
Yeah. I think they think it takes way too much time, but you're right. If you're already putting posts in Facebook or somewhere else, it's just a matter of copy and pasting in many cases.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things that I considered doing was more of the offers, but it gets a little tricky with clients. The clients really have to do it themselves. It's just another thing that we have to try and schedule with them, and it can get difficult when busy clients and businesses. But if you have something coming up, an event, an offer, anything, go and use it. It has some serious impact. Okay. All right. Let's get to a question here. This is from, oh my God, I'm going to try this. Anna Busa Goryu. Anna.
That's Anna. Pretty good.
So yeah. We'll see. It says, I redesigned one of my websites recently and submitted the new sitemap the other day. Google Search Console tells me that one of the pages is not mobile friendly. The text is too small. Clickable elements are too close together. But when I live test the page, I get status mobile friendly. I already made a few changes, increasing margins between links, etc. But still, same result. Index says no. Live test says yes. Does anybody have an idea what to do about this and why this is happening, where there's different results in the index and the live version? She does give a link to the page. It's all in Japanese, so that wouldn't help me, I'm afraid. But what I don't know. I didn't have an immediate answer to that. You're in Google Search Console more than I am. What do you think, John?
I don't either. This is because if you have two different Google tools telling you two different things, this is where you go back to Gary Eish and say, yes, it is possible.
Yeah, I wonder, like, by my thought, and this is what I would research, is whether or not they're perhaps going by newer data within Google Search Console and that tool itself hasn't been updated. I don't know.
That's true. That's a good question to ask. You know, if you tested it in Search Console 3 days after, but no, because that test is live in the Google Search Console. Some of those things, like the what's the tool, the URL inspector, which is that's live. It goes out and inspects it right then. So there's some things inside of Search Console that are not 2 or 3 days behind. I don't know for sure if this is one of them or not without digging in there to take a look.
Try, and I'm sorry, I don't have a quick answer for these. I'd like to have an answer, but I don't really. I mean, what I would suggest is looking for another tool that also analyzes mobile friendliness and see if it finds the issues. Something that's a rigorous tool, not just a fly-by-night tool that's just on someone's website, but I mean a one that is a standardized tool. And you know, using words like that when you're doing a search should help you find one. Do you have one off the top of your head that you would use, John?
I'm just checking one. I'm thinking of to see
GT
if I had it. I'm
metrics,
not
or
sure.
I'm not sure which.
GT metrics is really great. The speed
The
side, it's bound
speed
to be the
and
mobile.
yeah, page speed wise, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet if we come up with something, Anna, we're going to add it to your post. We're going to mention that we've answered your question today, at least quasi answered it. I'm going to go on there and mention that so you're sure to listen to the show. But I.
What's that analysis tool that Google has? Lighthouse, Lightspeed?
Right, Lighthouse. Yeah, Google
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Maybe try Lighthouse because that probably would cover all the different pieces of it, including mobile friendliness.
And it's part of the developer tools built into Google Search or the Google Chrome browser, right? I've
I
used it in
believe
that.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can try it in that. Try Lighthouse. It's a good tip. But I'll try and add something else as well to our listing. Thank you, Anna. Appreciate that. There's some great other questions from Carl, Stephen, and Jacob. We're going to get to that next week. So thank you for posting those. If you have any other questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. If you enjoyed the show, and we'd appreciate any feedback on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast stream. We're everywhere, and we do listen. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which are at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.